The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 46, text number 49, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 2nd, 2007, in Melbourne, Australia.
So today we are finishing this wonderful chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. This is chapter 46, text number 49. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kim sadha
yasmabir
bartu pritasya niskritim tatastrinam vedantina udabhogat kritanika. Translation in purport. Is he going to use our flesh to offer funeral oblations for his master who was so satisfied with his service? As the women were speaking in this way, Uddhava appeared, having finished his early morning duties. Purport. This verse reveals the bitter disappointment the gopis felt when Akrura took Krishna away. However, they will be pleasantly surprised to see that the unexpected guest is Uddhava. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 46th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Uddhava Visits Vrindavan. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya manovishtam shtapitam yena bhutale. Svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam. So this is quite an amazing twist here. The gopis saw that golden chariot parked by the house of Nanda Maharaj. And they were thinking, this is Akrura has come. They're very angry because Akrura has taken Krishna, their beloved Shamsundara, away from them to Mathura. And now they're thinking he's come back. And he's already killed us, we are already dead, but now he's come to take our flesh to offer in funeral oblations for his master. To offer funeral oblations for his master who was sad. So this is the way they're thinking about Akrura. What a cruel tyrant is this Akrura, and now he has come, and they're just. But then all of a sudden, in the midst of this anti-Akrura meditation that they're doing. Of course, it's all rasa. It's not like the spite of this world. It is all on the platform, the liberated platform of transcendental rasa. But now, what kind of, this is an amazing rasa. All of a sudden, it's Uddhava, who is like another Krishna, actually. He's so beautiful. And he's so much resembling Krishna, and he's coming as a special messenger from Krishna to pacify the gopi girls. So it's just an amazing twist of fate that now it is Uddhava. We can just imagine the surprise, the amazing wonderment in the hearts of the gopis when all of a sudden they saw it was Uddhava. It was not actually Akrura. So this is a little sample of what spiritual life is actually like, you see. spiritual life is always full of the most amazing surprises. You think one thing is going to come, but then something else comes. Amazing things happen when you take Krishna consciousness very seriously and totally dedicate yourself. Amazing things happen. Just like my godbrother, Brahmananda Prabhu, in the early days at 26th Second Avenue, he was given the task which had been passed from one devotee to another devotee to another devotee. Nobody could do this for Prabhupada. Prabhupada had one devotee try, he failed, another devotee. This was just like another chance to be a failure. Now it's your turn to be a failure, kind of a thing. He had his Bhagavad Gita manuscript written and he wanted one of the devotees to find a publisher. So this was like a sure failure. You know, now it's my turn to try to find a publisher for the manuscript. So I can also be a failure, just like Rai Ram was a failure and so-and-so was a failure. Now I will also be a failure. So the manuscript has now come to me so I can be a failure also. So this was the state of affairs, trying to find a publisher for Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita manuscript. So anyway, but Brahmananda didn't know what to do. They'd even had Allen Ginsberg, who was a famous poet, who was well-published, who had a good relationship with his own publisher. And his publisher didn't want it either. Nobody wanted to touch this manuscript for publishing. No one. So anyway, at that time, everyone has heard that wonderful, wonderful recording. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That Prabhupada recorded in New York City back in the early days. One cold evening, when devotees crammed into a Volkswagen minibus and went uptown to the studio. So that album was actually selling. The Beatles even got a hold of it. But somehow or other, it was mail order also, they were advertising it. So one day, in the midst of this quagmire-ish condition of how could we ever find a publisher for this manuscript, one day, a letter came from Macmillan Company. Macmillan Company is the biggest, one of the biggest and most prestigious publishers in the world, headquartered there in New York City. So Brahmananda was excited. Oh, Macmillan Company, they're the big, big publisher. And now they have sent a letter. What is it? Oh, they're just ordering, one of the employees is ordering a record. Oh. Well, Prabhupada said, you go there. He said, don't mail him the record. You personally go to Macmillan Company and deliver the record to this individual. So Brahmananda was hoping it was, you know, some big person in the publishing department, you know, that could, this big decision maker. So anyway, Prabhupada told him what to do. He said, just tell them that you have a spiritual master who has a Bhagavad Gita manuscript he would like to publish. He said, Prabhupada, should I take the manuscript with me? Prabhupada said, no. You just tell them, I have a spiritual master who has a Bhagavad Gita manuscript he would like to publish. So he was still, Brahmananda was thinking, what's the use? But anyway, he went there. He was all excited. Who is this person going to be? A big person. But it turned out it was just somebody in the accounting department, you know, just some worker in the accounting department. So he's thinking, what's the use of telling him? You know, he has no jurisdiction over what gets published at all. But then all of a sudden the door opens. And in walks this person who happened to be the head of the religious, the scriptural, you know, division. And Brahmananda shook his hand. The accountant introduced him. This is Mr. Such and Such. He is in such and such position. Brahmananda shook his hand. He said, I have a spiritual master with a Bhagavad Gita manuscript that he would like to get published. He was thinking, well, what can I, you know, Prabhupada told me to say this. And, you know. Anyway, when he said that, The man said, "Really? You have an Indian guru with a Bhagavad Gita manuscript you would like to publish? We'll publish it." It was, Brahmananda couldn't believe it. I mean, it was unbelievable. Actually, they had everything, and they had the Quran, they had this, they had that, but they were missing the Bhagavad Gita. They're wondering, where's the Bhagavad Gita manuscript we can publish? He said that he didn't want to see the manuscript. He just said, "We'll publish it." He already agreed to publish it before even seeing the manuscript. Normally they want to review the manuscript. But he agreed to publish it before even seeing the manuscript. Of course, Brahmananda, he was floating on a cloud of nectar after that. He just came, you know, he took the subway, but it seemed like he was just floating, you know, a mystic power back to 26 Second Avenue to give Prabhupada the news. But you know how did Prabhupada get all excited and jump up and down? No. Prabhupada just, as if he knew it was going to happen. Very nonchalantly showed a little pleasure. You see. So, the spiritual life is like this, you see. If we take to Krishna consciousness, then we can be sure and certain, if we fully surrender ourselves to our spiritual master and to Krishna, completely, totally dedicated to them, we will find that our life becomes the most amazing, exciting adventure, a thrill at every minute. We romanticize the great heroes of this material world, the ones who scale Mount Everest or the ones who overcome all obstacles to do this or do that. You see, they're very much glorified and romanticized. But actually, any devotee in any position, a preacher, a pujari, a cook, any position within our society, because this is a mystical process. It's a mystical process. If you will take this Krishna consciousness with full seriousness, with full determination, with full enthusiasm, and with patience, because it takes time. You can't expect Rome to be built in one day. You will find that you enter into the most amazing transcendental adventure. Like the most amazing movie that was ever produced. And you're living in it. You see, the most amazing cinema was ever conceived of in Hollywood. I mean, that's just, you know, this is a very, very crude example. But it does give some idea. The most amazing adventure story that was ever cooked up in Hollywood. And you get to be in the middle of it, tasting it and experiencing it at every minute. You see. That's called Krishna consciousness. So we're experiencing something less than that at the present moment. It just means that we're hanging on to ahankar, false ego. You see, we're doing nothing but stabbing ourselves in the chest, denying ourselves the full nectar, as Narottam Das Thakur says. Simply, I'm drinking poison knowingly, uselessly, if I have spoiled my life. So, how do we get out of this drab, monotonous, painful existence of trying to be the enjoyer? And get to that unlimitedly thrilling, exciting adventure at every moment of ahaitaki apratiyata bhakti. You see? That is the most important question that we should be asking and seeing how to get the answer. There is nothing more important. How to get out of material consciousness and how to get into pure, 100% pure Krishna consciousness. We have to make the endeavor. We cannot be spiritually lazy. This material world in the Kali Yuga is very, very tough, difficult situation. So why do the great learned sages worship this as the best of all yugas? Because it gives this very, very special facility. That if you properly utilize this human life in the Kali Yuga, that you can quickly and easily come to the platform of pure Krishna Bhakti. Simply we must have intense eagerness to become the pure devotee of Krishna. A burning desire to become a pure devotee of Krishna. This strong desire can do amazing things, actually. Prabhupada gives a story one time, true story. There was a thief in India, and in the midst of his wandering about the village looking for a good steal, he chanced upon a Bhagavat discourse. So he thought he would check it out. Just like sometimes they come to the temple and see what they can steal. So he was checking out the scene, but he was amazed. He heard the Bhagavat preacher explaining that there is this boy named Krishna. And his body is bedecked with the most valuable jewels. He's loaded with valuable jewels. And he wanders alone in the Vrindavan forest. So this thief got all excited. Wow! There's a little boy wandering all alone in Vrindavan forest with valuable jewels? Ah, I will go to Vrindavan, I will find that boy, I will take his jewels, and I will become millionaire. Yes. He became very excited. Yes, I will steal his jewels and become millionaire. So he headed out for Vrindavan. Very determined. I will see Krishna. I will find him and I will steal his jewels. You see. So he's walking many, many days just thinking, ah, yes, I'll become very rich. You see, greed inspires people. Become enlivened, mode of passion. You see. Someone who's not greedy just wants to mode out, they just sleep. But a greedy person, he will work very hard. Very hard to achieve his greedy desires, you see. Passion. So this thief is very, very passionate to see Krishna. So he got to Vrindavan. He's wandering to all the, you know, very big. This is like sometimes when we go to Rajmandam, we think, let us go see Kamyavan. But even in the jeep, it's long, many, many hours drive. What to speak of, that's the other side of Rajmandam. So what to speak of walking? Just imagine how huge by foot to wander that area. But he was looking, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? Thinking, ah, I'll become rich. So Krishna was very kind, even though he had material desires. You see. He was desiring, intensely desiring for Krishna, to find Krishna, and Krishna revealed himself. So immediately he said, oh, Krishna, you have so many valuable jewels. Can you give me some? Krishna, playing the role of the Yashoda Nandan, he said, oh no! Bhattaji will scold me. I cannot. Bhattaji will be very angry. I cannot give you any of you. So in this way, with a thief, he was very determined, but he was intensely absorbed, you see, on Krishna with a material motive, but actually he became purified by that contact with the Lord. And then Krishna said, all right, you can take. So, even if we have all material desires, we should be very, very eager to come in contact with Krishna. Very, very eager. You see, that eagerness, You see? That is the price to pay to obtain Krishna. That eagerness, that intense eagerness. I must attain Krishna. I must realize Krishna. You see? I must realize Krishna. So, that is the answer. How to get out of the dull, drab monotony of modes of nature existence, and how to ride the endless wave of Krishna prema. Prema vanyaya. You see, that wave of prema. We see the surfers here in Australia. They're looking for the ultimate wave that they can ride forever. Of course, there's no such wave in this material world. You see? But there is such a wave. Prema vanyaya. That wave of prema. So, if we can catch that wave, Krishna prema, then we can ride that wave forever. Tasting the sweetest happiness, sporting in the ocean of transcendental bliss. So the way to enter into that dimension of consciousness is one must be very, very, very intensely, passionately eager to achieve it. Taking all help from our Guru Maharaj, taking all help from Vaishnavas, taking all help from the Shastra, taking all help from the holy names, from the Prasadam, from the service, from this wonderful ISKCON movement. Take all the help we can get, because believe me, we need all the help we can get. We are really, really low in this Kali Yuga. Prayan Alpayusha Kalavasmin Yuge. In this way. Mandasu Manda Matayo Manda Bhavya Hyuparaduta. Prayan Alpayusha Sabhya Kalavasmin Yuge. In this way, we are in the most fallen state. But we can come to the most enlightened state of consciousness. Bhagavan realization. If we will seriously take shelter of this wonderful, wonderful process, Krishna consciousness. So we can ask now if there's some questions. Do you have any questions? Yes. Let me crank up the hearing aids, the acoustics here, make it even harder for me to hear. So, crank the battery has to kick in. Okay.
The question goes, should we take shelter of Radharani because she has bought Krishna? Prabhupada says, Madan Mohan Mohini. So how to take shelter of Radharani so that he can buy Krishna?
Oh, yes. This is a very nice question. Prabhupada has given beautiful, sweet, sweet answer one time on Radhastami in London. How to take shelter, how do we approach Radharani to get her mercy? The attractor of Cupid. Especially this Radharani here, I can understand, just by seeing her, I can understand how she is Madan Mahan Mohini. This is the most attractive Radharani here in Melbourne. She's so beautiful, so beautiful. So how do we get that mercy of Srimati Radharani? It's a very simple form. Actually, Krishna is very difficult to approach. He's a big man. Is he? He is very difficult to approach. But his Radharani, you see, she is feminine nature. See, male, he's hard-hearted. We all know, you know, masculine nature. Tough guy, you know. Hard-hearted. But woman's nature, woman is soft-hearted. That is feminine nature, you see. So, to directly approach that tough nature of Krishna, that's not easy thing. So we have to approach through Radharani. Her soft feminine nature is very easily approachable. So Prabhupada said like this, that you pray, my dear mother, Radharani. She is our mother, you see. My dear mother, Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. You see. And Prabhupada said, Radharani, she will, when you attract her attention in that way, humbly begging that she tells about you to Krishna, Radharani will tell her Krishna, and Krishna, just see, here is one devotee. He is better devotee than me. Radharani is so in the mood of serving the devotees. She will recommend this devotee, such and such Das Brahmachari or whatever, you know, Dave, such and such Devi Dasi. This devotee is better than me, Krishna. So you can just imagine what Krishna will think when Radharani tells him that. Because Krishna knows there is no devotee like my Radharani. There is no one who can serve me like she can. No one can cook like she can. No one can please me like she can. But now she is saying that so-and-so das, so-and-so dasi is better devotee than her. Let me see who is this devotee better than Radharani. You see. So in this way, you see, Prabhupada taught us how we approach Radharani. In that way, we, you know, she gets us in with the big man by her grace, Krishna. Any other questions? Yes.
Isn't there a thing to Radharani all the time by chanting Hare Krishna?
Yes. Hare is the vocative form of Hara, Mother Hara. So that Mother Hara, that is actually Radharani. So we are actually chanting Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha Radha. But some devotees say, oh, then let us do that. But no, don't manufacture some new system. In some temples, some devotees did a kirtan, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha. No, do not invent. This is a very bad thing. We have to take what is coming from the acharyas. It is the name of Radha Krishna that is transcendental. But we have to worship Radha Krishna in the way that it has come to us from our acharyas. If we try to concoct our own system, it will be failure. It is sahaja. It will be failure. We must follow the authorized system that is coming from our sampradaya, our gurus, Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas. Whatever they have given, that is the way we worship. And that will be successful. So any other questions? Yes.
I have another one. When Prabhupada had 3 attacks of myocardial infarction on the boat.
When Prabhupada
had 2 very severe myocardial infarction, heart attacks.
Oh, then he had the heart attacks on
when
the boat.
He was coming on the boat to
yes.
USA. So it is said that Krishna came and gave.
Yes, that's right. Krishna came.
Have you heard anything in connection with this?
Huh?
Have you heard anything in this connection from anybody in these?
No, we have heard from Prabhupada. He described it. That is, who else can describe that experience that he had? Prabhupada is the only one who can tell us about it. And he told. He clearly describes how Krishna came to him. And he understood that everything was okay. Because Krishna's protection was there.
But he never told this to anybody?
No, it's revealed.
Did he reveal it?
Somewhere it's told, otherwise how would we know? Prabhupada somewhere has told us. That's how we know.
I thought he told to one of the Indian devotees in Vrindavan, who was very close to Prabhupada.
Actually, this can be researched in Vedabase. You can look it up. So he told someone, and the word got out.
Yeah, in Vrindavan.
I don't know who he told.
I think he might be.
I mean, it could be looked up in the Vedabase. You know, this is one of those interesting research topics. You know, just start.
I have another question also for you. Prabhupada told the disciples in the early part that
disciples where?
To the disciples early part in USA when he was in New York, Los Angeles.
Early years.
Okay.
Sorry. in the early years, he said, you should treat your guru as Lord, Bhagwan.
Yes.
And next, if somebody asked him, that Prabhupada, is that right? He said, yes, but the guru should not think him to be God. He should think, otherwise he'll be dog.
That's right.
So, do you want to give some enlightenment on this?
Yes. The spiritual master never thinks that he is qualified to be a spiritual master, or to speak that he's God. He simply feels that he's the humble servant of his spiritual master, and he is engaged in the activities that his spiritual master has ordered him to do. That's all. Prabhupada said in this connection that whatever has been accomplished in this Krishna consciousness movement, it is not my credit. It is all the blessings of my Guru Maharaj. He said, if I have any connection at all, any credit at all in this connection, it is that I always faithfully serve the order of my spiritual master. So this is the one claim the disciple can make. He has a rightful claim to the orders of his spiritual master. But what comes as a result of following those orders, he never takes the credit. He gives all credit to his spiritual master. So in the Mayavadi Sampradaya, they say that the spiritual master is God. That Guru and Krishna are one and the same. Our philosophy is, we agree the Guru is one, but not one and the same, one and different. Their philosophy is one and the same. Our philosophy is one and different. So we halfway agree with them and halfway disagree with them. So the spiritual master is, and I remember when I was new, just coming around, moved into ashram, and they were cultivating me to make me a devotee. And I remember that day when Vishnu Janamash told me we were going back from Sankirtan in the van. I remember driving back to the temple. He said, you have to accept that Srila Prabhupada is as good as God. I was shocked when I first heard that. I was shocked. But then I understood that because Prabhupada is purely representing God, that he's as good as God, because whether God personally tells you or Prabhupada tells you, it's the same thing. And Prabhupada told us, I was there with His Divine Grace in 1972 in New Vrindavan. There was a big, wonderful, wonderful thing organized called the Bhagavad Dharma Discourses. They took one New Vrindavan hill and they built a pavilion on top of it. It was a tin roof with no walls, so the mountain breeze could just come blowing through. And in the hot summer, there was still the nice mountain breezes, and we were under the shades. It was a very nice thing on top of the hill. And so every day, Prabhupada would come up there. They'd bring him in a palanquin or a car up the mountain, and he would give discourse on Bhagavatam. And it was advertised widely. In fact, the New York Times even came. It was a big thing in the media. Bhagavad Dharma Discourses. So at the end, it was Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, and all the reporters are there, you know. And here, Prabhupada could understand that they're thinking, what is this, a human being worshipped like God? So he explained. He gave a very nice explanation how during the British rule of India, the king or queen, whatever the case was there in London, but in India, the viceroy was there. So wherever the viceroy would go, that viceroy would be given all the honor, respect, and gifts which would have been offered to the king if the king had been present. But whatever the viceroy accepted, he wouldn't keep it. He'd send it to London, go to the royal treasury in London. You see. So Prabhupada compared the spiritual master like that to like the viceroy. That, you know, he's accepting it, but not on his own behalf. He just, you know, he takes it, but then he offers it Krishna. So the spiritual master is just as the viceroy is as good as the king when he's being received by the villagers. The spiritual master is as good as God. But he never thinks, oh, my disciples are giving me all this worship. I'm great, I'm great. Just see how much they worship me and say I'm great. Oh, I must be really great. Guess what? Such a spiritual master is headed for a fall down. You see, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's the same. So one has to remain, even though one may be worshipped big by one's disciples, within the heart, the more they make you big, you have to become small. The spiritual master in his heart, he has, the more his disciples make him big, he has to become small. Because otherwise he'll be finished. He'll fall down and it'll be a great disaster for his disciples when their spiritual master falls down. But it's the duty of the disciple to worship the spiritual master as God. And it's the duty of the spiritual master to accept that worship and that service. But within his heart, he has to just become there, just become purely, totally, completely humble and understand I'm nothing but the insignificant servant of my spiritual master. And he thinks, these disciples, they have been sent by my spiritual master. Prabhupada told us. He said, you have all been sent to me by my Guru Maharaj. I would try to figure, well, I was sent to Prabhupada by Bhakti Siddhanta. I couldn't understand what that meant. But that is how the spiritual master sees it. That somehow my Guru Maharaj has sent me, all of these boys and girls, to engage in Krishna consciousness movement. So in this way, the spiritual master always feels himself very meek, very low, very humble, while he takes worship as good as God.
There is a famous saying in Hindi, Guru Govind Dono Khade, Kake Lavu Paaye, Balihariva Guru Ki Jo Govind Diyo Dvai. That means that even when Krishna and spiritual master both are there, first I will just give the feet of my Guru Maharaj. Why? Because my Guru Maharaj has given me connection with Krishna.
Yeah.
I have known Krishna only because of
Yeah, this principle is
Guru and then Krishna.
This principle is reconfirmed by Srila Prabhupada, because he loved to quote that English maxim. He quoted it again and again and again. If you love me, love my dog. Prabhupada reconfirmed this point you're making. If you love me, love my dog. He said the spiritual master is the dog of God. So if you want to show Krishna, if you want Krishna to accept your love, you must love the dog. You must love the spiritual master, God's dog. Yes. Question?
Quite often when somebody moves into the ashram, they get a lot more respect than they did beforehand. And as a person...
Let's see, let me follow. Who is this that gets more respect?
Somebody who moves into an ashram, why is the person...
Someone who moves into an ashram, okay.
They get...
That's right.
So how does one cultivate the humility you were talking about?
Yes. The first thing to understand is the more that one advances in Krishna consciousness, the more one feels and sees his own faults and disqualifications. On the highest end of someone who is an Uttama Adhikari, we have read in Prabhupada's books, the Uttama Adhikari actually is convinced, he feels, that every single person throughout the totality of existence is a pure devotee except for himself, who is the most abominable, despicable demon. That's the position of the Uttama Adhikari, what he actually feels. He has to come down and act on the platform of a Madhyama Adhikari in order to preach effectively. So we should understand, the more I feel and can see my own disqualifications, that means I'm advancing in Krishna consciousness. If I'm thinking, oh, now I'm very qualified, I'm very great, we should understand, I'm in big trouble right now, I'm on the verge of falling down. You see? I mean, it's a wonderful example of Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada quotes there, Rupa Goswami says, "I am trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although I am totally unfit to do so." So if Rupa Goswami is feeling totally unfit to engage in preaching activities, then what is our position? If I think I'm qualified to sit on this Vyasasana, then you better just drag me off of it right now. You see? You know what Prabhupada's reaction was the first time they offered him the Vyasasana in Los Angeles, a big royal seat? He started crying. He said, "I am not fit to sit on this. You've made this, I'm not fit to sit. But I'm doing so on behalf of my Guru Maharaj." Makkanlal Prabhu was there. He saw that pastime. He personally told me. And I had heard it also from Vishnujan Maharaj years ago. So the more we're advancing in Krishna consciousness, the more we must see how I am disqualified, how my heart is in desperate need of rectification from the material disease, bhava rog. The more you can see your diseased state, that is your progress in Krishna consciousness. But if you think, "Oh yes, now I'm very qualified, I'm very advanced," you're in a very dangerous position. Is that answer here? Any other question? All right then. So now we are, Vishnupriya Mataji and I are heading on to our next preaching stop on our world preaching tour, Fiji Islands, and we're very, very grateful how wonderfully you've taken care of us. Your friend been very giving us all nice Vaishnava dealings here. So we thank you very much, and please carry on like this. You're doing wonderful service here for Prabhupada's mission under the guidance of your very nice, qualified temple president, Aniruddha Prabhu. So kindly continue like this and make all of Melbourne Krishna conscious. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes.